Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started,
Well as a
community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and that is Todd Adkins.
What?
All right. Well, today we have a great question on what happens when you have a lot of new guests that come in a very short time. How to prepare your leaders, how to prepare your church, how to process through all that. Really well. So that's the question for today. But before we get into it, we do want to tell you about a brand new Bible study that came out by J.D. Greer. It's called The Gospel Above All.
The Gospel Above All Creation's Majesty, from the mountains to the sea, from all the birds and all the bees.
Well, that just took a weird turn. Sorry.
Do you sing the intro song into the Bible study?
That is the official song of the Bible study.
Written by Todd Adkins.
Yep.
Produced by Todd Adkins.
I really just
sung
needed
by
to
Todd
get
Adkins.
A bubble or something out of my throat. That was the most raspy I've sounded in a while. I'm halfway through a Diet Dr. Pepper, which I have found many leaders drink Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
I just came out of a meeting with Philip Bethencourt.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
He's number two. Yep. Number two at ERLC, Diet Dr. Pepper.
Hey, have you seen
Brad
those
Lominick,
billboards?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Have you seen those billboards around the city right now where it's Coke Zero Orange Cream?
No, that sounds like an abomination.
I don't know, man. Do you like vanilla Coke Zero or cherry Coke Zero?
No, I very rarely will drink soft drinks now. Mm. But this was there in my last meeting, and I was like, oh, I gotta have one.
There you go. Okay, so before we get into the question,
right,
The Gospel Above All is a great eight-session Bible study. Here's the description. It's a great eight-session Bible study that'll give you fresh perspective on the supremacy of the gospel over the trappings and temptations of modern society.
Hmm.
So you can lead your group to a greater awareness and practice of gospel culture, gospel mission, gospel renewal, and gospel unity through this study. So we encourage you all to check it out. And
that's, of course, by J.D. Greer.
Yeah. And a ton of other people. I mean, David Platt, Jen Wilkin, Vance Pittman, Walter Strickland, Rosaria Butterfield, Greg Laurie, Albert Moeller, Kevin Smith are all in this study with him. So check it out. And now let's listen into the question.
Hey guys, Byron here from Texas, and I have a questioning about post-launch or the grand opening of a brand new permanent location. So my question for you guys is, when you have an influx of a lot of new guests or people, new ministry opportunities, what is one thing that you would encourage your staff, your deacons, or your serve team to be able to expect when you have a lot of new guests coming into the church within a very short period of time? I look forward to listening to you and listening along with the rest of our team. Thank you so much for all you do at New Churches. We greatly appreciate you helping church planters. You guys are the best. Thank you.
I actually got a DM from Byron on Friday of last week, because he talked about stocks and flows. It's a good thing, because I would probably start talking about stocks and flows. Like, your advice on stock and flow was super helpful for our team. I'm about to ask another question. So here's the question.
Yeah. No, this guy sent in a ton of questions into the podcast, and we appreciate that. If you haven't sent in a question yet, please
shame
do so.
On you.
Speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device, or on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right. But yeah, this is a great question because, here's the thing about metrics, right? I think a lot of times we consider church growth and we consider church health to be all about going up and to the right. But we have to take our context into consideration. So for example, if the area that your church is in is growing 30% year over year, because so many new people are moving there, families are moving there, industry, you know, it's a growing city, and you're only growing by 10% every year. That's not really a good thing.
No,
at least you're growing, but it's not that. I mean, you could do a lot better than that. Now, on the other side, let's say you live in a town where the brain drain is happening and a factory is shut down and people are moving out, and you have stayed stagnant year over year, even though the city or the area has decreased by 10 or 15% that year, then that's actually a really good thing. So correct. When you think about the idea of having a lot of new guests, people, and opportunities, that is a really good metric. And I would encourage you to know and have a system to know how to track all the new people. Because sometimes you have people who are obviously going to go to the newcomers, but is that the same? Are you counting them? Are you also counting the parents who have checked in their kids for the first right. time? And what about all the people who will not identify themselves?
Totally.
How do you track them?
So I'm going to give you a couple practical things. The reference to stock and flow was basically the analogy of a bathtub, the amount of water you have in coming in versus draining out. In this case, it would be people. It would be all those new people coming in versus the people leaving. So the only way to really track that is to know the people that are coming in. And so someone would practically say, well, how do you do that? Because like, I don't take attendance in my service.
Yeah.
And I have large community-based groups at my church, kind of a master teacher thing. I was actually talking to Stephen about this yesterday. And the way that I would say you do that from a practical perspective is most of those families are going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And we always check in children. So you have that record. So if you're missing children, you're missing a family. So if you at least track the children, you're going to know, oh, I need to follow up with that family.
Yeah. So, and is your follow-up process, do you have a follow-up process? But secondarily, is your follow-up process the same for kids as it is for adults?
Yes. Right?
And it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you want to have a similar pattern. So let's say it's, you know, there's an email that gets sent out that week or that day or the next day, and maybe there's a text message follow-up or maybe there's a package that gets sent over their house, or maybe, you know, whatever that is, and the intentionality that you bring in to that process for adults, you also want to think through, what does that look like for kids?
The other thing I would say is we have a tendency to drop the Sears. Well, Sears doesn't exist anymore, so... But when I was
Sears
a kid,
catalog?
Yeah, the Sears Christmas catalog or the JCPenney Christmas catalog was amazing when I was a kid. This is before your time. Sorry, I'm going to analog.
No, I remember.
And you would see, oh, here's all the many wonderful things, and I can spend hours almost flipping through it and looking, you know, at the different things.
That's like the Target catalog.
Okay.
That comes to our house now.
Okay. Well, Target. I mean, pick your pony. Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of churches, especially in the church growth movement, started a lot of affinity-based ministry. Mm-hmm. And so when someone comes in, they want to lay it all out in front of them. We want to give that newcomer a Christmas catalog, when instead I would really encourage you not to show them all the, you know, bells and whistles of your church, but have one to three, but as few as possible, things that you want them to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And that next thing needs to be really sticky.
Yeah,
it needs to introduce them to community. It needs to introduce them to people, because people are going to be way stickier than you're preaching.
Yeah, and I would even say it's one thing. It's one thing.
It's best to do one thing for sure.
So that whatever they come to, right? And this is in, let's say it's a mailer or something that you give to them. They've already left and it's an email. You're inviting them to something. I would say, hey, this is for you. This is for newcomers. It'll help you know what the church is about, and it's this long. And, you know, I mean, that's great to have a class like that. But what I would say is even better than that is, in every service, at the end of every service, or sometime in the middle of the service, you say, hey, if you're brand new, we'd like you to go to the red carpet, the red door, the blue, whatever. It's just some sort of demarked place every single week. It's not a room, so you're not asking people to go into a room. Because if they go into a room, it's like, oh, there's that barrier where it's like, oh, if I go in, can I leave? I don't really want to go to a class. I don't even have time for a class because I need to go to this lunch meeting or, I, you know, such and such and such. So you say, hey, when the service is over, if you're brand new for 5 minutes, we'd love to meet you and we'd love to give you something or we'd love to show you something or we'd love to tell you about. And you're speaking specifically to those newcomers, but in a sense, you're directing them to some place in your church. Probably, you know, either maybe at the back of the auditorium or just outside, no room. Maybe it's demarked by couches and a carpet. Even a church that I was consulting with, one of the things that they do is they, as a part of their budget line, they have snacks and coffee. They don't charge it. They just, it's there in the lobby. Right. It's this church plant. So I was like, hey, what if you did this? In the same area, well, you know, in the same lobby area that everyone's hanging out, what if you have off to the side a place where you have two or three couches, a big colored carpet so everyone sees what it is, and an espresso machine. An espresso machine and cinnamon buns. Now, here's the thing. If you want
I'll see
espresso-
you and raise you a chocolate fountain.
Right? So, okay, this is why I say it, because regular coffee is there for everyone. Regular snacks are there for everyone. But when you have an espresso machine going on, it sound, you know, you hear it. You hear the beans grinding, you hear the steam going, and everyone's like, oh, what's that? And you see, hey, this is only for newcomers. And if you bring a newcomer on your arm, you get to come too.
Right.
So not only do you hear it, but with the freshly baked or microwaved cinnamon buns, you have the smell going on, kind of like the Annie's pretzels.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. So what are easy ways that you can bring people to a certain place? It's not a meeting. It's just a 5 minute, 10 minute conversation. And then in that place, you get their email, you get their information, and you're like, we'd love to invite you to this class or to this longer thing that they're then going to learn more. Yeah.
And so, and make sure that next step for that person is, of course, easy, obvious, and strategic. So when I say you have one to three things that you, you know, want to be able to offer, make sure it's appropriate for that person. So if it's a family, you may say, oh, well, this is your next step. If it's a single lady, then it's, oh, this is your next step.
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know.
Single lady.
Hey.
Oh, I'm a single lady.
Then you're in a singing mood today.
I am. I'm in a good mood.
So this is the Todd Adkins you get when he's on Diet Dr. Pepper. Usually you get the cold brew. You get the cold brew
you
Todd
do.
Adkins.
You get cold brew Todd Adkins.
Yeah. Or the Todd Adkins that hasn't been on caffeine for a few hours.
Which is not a fun Todd Adkins.
No. And that's a Todd Adkins that does not sing.
Or talk, for the most part. That's when Daniel carries the podcast, because I'm like,
oh man. Okay, so if you have a ton of new guests in a short time, make sure that you have some sort of place that you're inviting them to. Not a class, especially on a Sunday, but some sort of place for them to go from observation, from sitting back to, oh, look, I've met one other person. Oh, look, I have that relationship. And some of the best people that you can have in those environments are the ones that know how to, you know, they have a high level of EQ, right? They know how to carry on a conversation. They don't need to be you as the pastor. They don't even need to be your staff. And they don't even need to know everything that's going on in the church. They just need to be friendly. Friendly enough to start that, you know, to strike that conversation, to know the vision of your church and to say, hey, we'd love for you to, this is where you're going to learn more. Or, oh, what questions do you have? Oh, we'd love to answer. Oh, I don't know right. that. I don't know the answer to that question. Let me find it for you. And just to capture that information so that when the newcomer leaves, it's not just no one noticed me. Great sermon. Kids ministry was great, but no one noticed me too. Oh, look, I met two or three other people.
Yeah. People are going to be stickier than preaching.
Yes.
Hands down. So think about, I mean, there are some tried and true methods like, you know, the free gift, come back there to the red carpet, get the free gift. But, you know, espresso is a cacophony of sight, sound, and smell, which will bring them running. The other thing I would say is make sure you do have a clear follow-up process that's not too overbearing or overwhelming, but that seems more that is not automated, like fill in the blank kind of stuff that people can see, but that is a definite process that's well thought out and designed to engage people with the church. Handwritten notes,
stuff like that is just absolutely amazing. If I visit a church and get a handwritten note from the pastor that week.
Yeah, you're right.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
And, even if somebody else wrote it and he just signed his name, I don't care. The fact that they sent that is a big deal to me.
It's true. It is a differentiator. And when you think about it, I mean, honestly, Todd, that's why in the last chapter of No Silver Bullets, when I wrote it, you just got to stop doing the ding, man.
I can't. I can't stop.
Honestly, in the last chapter of it, I ended up giving a template for a newcomer follow-up process because that's where discipleship begins. Right? It's not just about here's your assimilation process. Discipleship is another thing. When you really get plugged into the church, no, this is how you set the tone. So even though the book is a discipleship book, a leadership book, I was like, man, I have to talk about this. Otherwise, you're not going to have new people to disciple.
True.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. If you haven't yet checked out the Rainer on Leadership podcast, we want to encourage you to do that because they are a part of our Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. Recently, they've talked about why your church attendance may vary 25% every week, ways that pastors want to reset their ministries, even some recent episodes on megachurch vacancies, just a lot of great tips and thoughts and feedback on that podcast. So be sure to look up Rainer on Leadership in your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.